This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Mike Schoeb.
And who and what was thrown at that gentleman? And that gentleman has been ejected, but it was an ugly, ugly sight. I can't circle. I don't have my telestrator today, but what? Here comes a pizza. See it? Oh! Jeez.
Highly unnecessary.
And the Bulldog.
Guy with the Patriots jacket, and of course he's been asked to leave the ball game for ruining a good piece of pizza. So, get beer all over him. And here goes.
That's some pizza.
On WGR.
That was an awful sight here at Fenway, and that is not tolerated in this ballpark. He has been ejected and never again allowed to buy pizza.
Sports Radio 550.
I was thinking of saying the Blue Jays are back home tonight for a series with Baltimore, but that's, you know, that only sort of right. They are back in Buffalo anyway for a four-game series, another homestand, more opportunity, lucky us, to get to see the majors here in the city. Weather looks great. Blue Jays and Orioles tonight. Ben Wagner, Blue Jays broadcaster. He's been on the show many times, as you know. BenWag247 on Twitter. He's going to update us here on the Jays and talk about this series. Ben, how is this season going for you?
For me personally or the Blue Jays?
Yeah.
I wish I was more involved, to be honest with you guys. But for the Blue Jays, I think there have been some times where, you know, they have underperformed. I think the offense came out of the gate a little more sluggish than they even thought that they would. The bullpen was electric. That was supposed to be strong. Thought the rotation would catch up, but This team overall has had good pockets of play, but I don't think they have their best baseball played yet. And last night in Miami was a pretty good ball game for the Blue Jays defensively. Offensively, even though it wasn't a, you know, big number put up on the scoreboard, they had timely hits. They faced a pretty good pitching staff in Miami over the last couple of days, and everything just started to come back in sync. We're starting pitching. The bullpen looks like it's kind of settled down, even though it's still very much of an injured bullpen for high-leverage guys. That's why I'm a big believer that the Blue Jays have yet to put their best baseball together for this season.
Well, George Springer being back might give them a current chance of doing that. Also, playing the Orioles four times should help.
Bingo. There you go. That's exactly.
Here's the moment. Here's the moment, Ben. Right now.
Yeah, I know. This is why things should go really, really well. If they could mix in a Diamondback series here before the All-Star break, that'd be great too. But, the Orioles, I mean, they don't do a lot of things well, you know, and it's unfortunate because walk away game after game thinking, man, that's not how a Major League Baseball team should perform. And that's good news for the Blue Jays because they're looking for momentum after they finally got through the first 2.5 months. You saw some light at the end of the tunnel once you got to the middle of June here where the schedule would lighten up and conceivably give this team an opportunity not only to gain momentum going into the All-Star break, but right after it too. Again, with some pivotal series in there, but they got to play good baseball, and they have to keep themselves in the run here. And maybe they're past the toughest patch, dealing with a bullpen that was leaky and another rash of injuries here. Get this thing going with George Springer coming back to the lineup too.
Right. He's been back, what, the last two games now, after missing quite a while. Is there optimism that he's through, like, the stuff here, there's nothing lingering, and that, like, he's taken enough time and not been rushed or anything like that?
That's why the AAA assignment was so important. And there were a couple of plays, but he falls back on just a, kind of a buzzword, but explosiveness. And that's the one thing that he never was able to have or feel at least confident in his body to have when he was on the field, offensively or defensively. The acceleration out of the batter's box. Can you stop and adjust on the bases? Can you break back or a first step forward defensively? Those little things. He felt like he was, you know, 80 to 85% at, and he never was really comfortable. And that's why this long shutdown happened before he got back onto the field of play. He missed 44 games. I mean, that's a huge amount of time for a guy that should be the marquee player. I think they will still take some precaution in terms of his actual demand of the body and give him a DH day. And for people that don't know, he never stopped taking batting practice. Like, he never stopped swinging the bat. And he was around the club the entire time. But, you know, to keep him off his legs, make sure the legs stay fresh here for at least the next couple of weeks will be really important.
These will be his
and
first.
Then all systems go.
Sorry, Ben. These will be his first games in Buffalo, right? Like, he wouldn't have played here last year for Houston and then Dunedin early in the season and then Miami. So, right? That would be
correct.
His
yeah,
debut
this
here.
This is the first go around. He's been on the field for batting practice and, you know, shagging fly balls and some other stuff, but he has not played a game yet at Salem Field, so this will be the debut.
How do you feel, or how do you know, like the, how does the Jays organization overall, maybe just who you've talked to, think this is going here with Salem Field, with the fans? Now we've got more tickets for sale, right? Like a lot of places, this is expanding. There was a continuation of the border closure, so we're pretty safe here going into well into July at least. What are sort of some of the observations you're finding and hearing?
Well, go all the way back to the work that was done between the Bisons and the Blue Jays and kind of the blueprints that were put together and then executed once the weather broke, and they improved the field. They moved the bullpens off. They did incredible work in the bowels of the ballpark. Unfortunately, not many people will get to experience it or live it, especially this year, but the improvements with a brand new clubhouse and improvements that were long overdue, to be honest with you, necessary things. But to the Bison's credit, you know, they were focusing on the fans over the last 10, 15 years and their experience more so than the actual ball players, because, you know, new shower heads won't help Mike Buczkowski and Anthony Sprague sell one more ticket. So that's why it's important, you know, to make sure the fan amenities are taken care of first and foremost. But you needed to upgrade not only for the AAA component, you had to upgrade a little bit deeper than what you were able to do. And now with the luxury of time in Buffalo working in their favor, they were able to do a number of those things. And the new clubhouse, a couple of activation stations, the new hydrotherapy, the new batting cages, all of this stuff, talking with the players, are things that they recognize improved greatly, and it took investment for both organizations to get it done. And then you roll that into what the atmosphere has been like in Buffalo. The guys were so desperate to get out of Dunedin. Get out of Dunedin, and the way that ballpark was playing, some of the sun issues, which were very, very real, battling the sun sinking in the especially the left fielder, shortstop, and third baseman's eyes for far too long. And then take it a step further, the atmosphere. Western New York does a great job rallying around awesome things. You know, whether it's a music festival, whether it's an event at the ballpark, whether it's the Blue Jays being there, and now with the fans having an opportunity to be part of this, those guys were jacked up for it. They weren't surprised that it was pro-New York when the Yankees rolled in here, but they are so thankful to have fans finally being able to cheer from them. And be part of this thing and have a little energy and juice in the ballpark. That's the overall echo that I hear from guys.
I like it.
How likely might you think it is that the season will end here, Ben? I mean, Mike already mentioned the border, and forgive me, I've been sort of traveling a bit, and I may have missed if there was anything formal about this. What do you have a feeling for like how likely it is that the Jays will be playing here in August and September?
I think it's a very big probability that the Blue Jays continue their play through August and September. There are a number of different layers that you have to go through, from the border even relaxing enough restrictions, let alone just getting to a point where it's wide open. I know that they extended it. I know that they relaxed the Canadian travel with vaccination proof and a negative COVID test. But Major League Baseball is operating to a point where 85% of your travel party, that includes front office people, support staff, medical staff, plus the players, 85% then allowed them to relax the protocols within Major League Baseball's confines. That doesn't, and there are teams out there that still are fighting to get to that 85%. Personal belief or not, I think that will be the biggest hurdle that the Blue Jays have to get over moving across the border, and the teams that are coming across the border at the same time, because the federal government is looking at not only the team that is coming, specifically the Blue Jays, but they're also looking at what's the situation like in Kansas City if the Royals are coming to town. You know, like those kind of instances are going to play into it. It's really complex. It's a really deep dive in looking at the schedule, evaluating when the right time to move the team would be. And that's why it's going to take some time to get it done. And we're all looking at the same calendar, right? And it takes a massive mobilization, again, for a team that's already moved twice because they had to get everything down in Dunedin then to Buffalo, and essentially for not only the team and its travel party, but also the family and support network that are around these guys. I think it's a major, major obstacle.
Yeah, very well laid out. Could these also be factors? Is there a point at which, from a competitive standpoint, that it just doesn't behoove the Blue Jays to move? Or is that maybe just not a consideration because you're talking about, you know, 3, 4, 5 times as many people? If that were the outcome, maybe that isn't even realistic anyway. I wonder if there's a point at which you go, it's not worth it for what's left. And then also perhaps this to be different, like what the ballpark, what the whole thing is, how it all sort of computes to determine whether the Jays might think they have some other level of advantage playing here. I don't even know what that would be. The playability, how the ballpark plays in some way, meaning something to how they decide this. But I'm guessing that won't be a thing.
That's thick in the weeds. I think a couple of things will factor in more before you even get down to if it's a competitive advantage to move to Rogers Center. There are a million different advantages that this organization has by being at its hub, at its nerve center, and that's Rogers Center, in a ballpark that is ready for major league competition and to hold Major League Baseball. There are a number of those advantages. But with the current state of where Ontario is, where the federal government views this, that those automatically start to detract from those advantages. And even if there is light at the end of the tunnel to have fans back at Rogers Center, I don't know that it's going to be a difference maker with this team, you know, ultimately deciding. I think it's going to decide, where do they have enough time to make the move? Is it going to be beneficial to make a move for the players and the Blue Jays at that point? Buffalo is much different than Dunedin in the way that this ballpark plays. And that's why, again, the guys were so ready to stop pitching there. The hitters would love to stay. But, again, you know, you get these slugfests all of a sudden, and it's just not fun. Ballpark versus ballpark, you know, Salem Field's holding its own. In the way that they and StatCast look at how the ball travels and who has the advantage, it's a pretty fair ballpark to this point.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, too, seeing a lot of games there, This is the prime time. I think the ballpark plays more fair late June, July, and August than at any point in the year.
That has something to do with the climate, right? Like I read Derek Carty, who studies this for fantasy, his research was Salem Field, relatively speaking, because of the climate, will be more of a pitcher's park than you think. And I might be underselling it by saying that. Am I close?
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I looked at some data in spring training when they were comparing different ballparks too, and I think the perception was if you go to a minor league ballpark, you know, the numbers are just going to automatically be inflated. That's just not the case, especially in Buffalo. That is just not the case.
Right.
And even more so, and Derek's right, you look at how the ball, just one with the eye test, but two, then the data collected from Major League Baseball's and Major League Baseball players last year, it proves it.
Yeah.
I love that we've gotten 15 minutes into a conversation about the Blue Jays without mentioning Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
I happen to hate that.
last year was a pretty tough year. It looks like he figured out, getting himself in optimal shape. And I mean, this year he's having is speaking for itself. I mean, it's got to be really something to watch him night in and night out, Ben.
It's incredible. It is must-see TV. If you're around the tube or if you're going to the ballpark, this is the one guy you want to see in the batter's box. But the pitch recognition, I mean, the ball's coming out of the pitcher's hand. He's not getting baited. It never looks like he's swinging for the fences at all. He is tabulating to his own admission. He's counting his home runs. Don't think that he's not, because that's a really big statistic for Vladimir Guerrero Jr., but it's his approach. And right now, nobody has figured out how to break him off that approach because he is driving the ballpark wild right now with any contact that he has. He's comfortable going the opposite way. He's comfortable pulling the baseball. And he has found a rhythm at the plate that is incredible right now for all the traditional metrics and now all of the deep dive metrics. And that is what's more impressive about his play right now is that it is the perfect storm of a joy to watch and a joy to analyze with what he's able to do in the batter's box. And the biggest step for me, though, is him defensively. He has come such a long way at a really hard position to take over, let alone try to do it on short notice last year, moving into a shortened season. And the footwork has improved. His overall feel of how to play first base has improved considerably, where he's got this internal clock now and how far to move to his right, how far to go back. And he's making plays that he just would not have made last year. And to me, all the credit for the success that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is having this year goes directly to Vladimir Guerrero Jr., where he looked at himself, he looked at his teammates, and he made a promise to them both that he would be better. And this is the reward for everyone.
Hey, Ben, real quick.
Yeah, I think go ahead, Mike.
Sorry, I just was... You sure?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. Just looking at the clock, I wanted to get this in real quick here, Ben, before you go. The rotation for the weekend, Manoa was suspended. He's appealing the suspension, and I see him on tap for tomorrow.
Yeah, if that five-game suspension lapses, he should be good. So that's the way I understand it.
Okay.
He's already set the 5 days.
Oh, he has. Okay, so that's already complete, yeah. And he pitches tomorrow night.
Yeah, he should be good to go, unless there's something that we're waiting.
Okay.
We'll hear from Charlie to get all that confirmed in about 20 minutes. But
okay.
It should be Alek Manoa time once again.
Cool. All right. Bulldog, you want to throw one more thing in or no?
No, man. I'm all set.
All right.
Good.
Thanks, Ben.
Awesome. Great to chat with you guys.
You too. Ben Wagner with the Blue Jays at BenWag247. Jays and Orioles tonight. Downtown, first of four. Anthony Kay is the Jays pitcher tonight, looking for his first win. Manoa tomorrow, Ryu and Stripling for the weekend. I'll be going Sunday, which I'm excited about. I had the thought pulling into work today, you know what I could do? After the show, I could just go over to a Major League game.
Yep.
That is not the plan. I'm not doing that, but it's just it's so close.
Right.
So great. All right, Jeremy White. 100 holes of golf today. We'll check in with him and see how his golf and his fundraising effort is going. And I gotta find out about these clothes. He's showing a whole wardrobe he's got out there. What does he have? A team of people with following him with outfits? What is going on out there? All right. So we'll talk to Jeremy after the update. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Morning host Jeremy White is out at Wanaka today shooting for 100 holes of golf, no pun intended, raising money for both the Courage of Carly Fund at Roswell and Live Like Luca, the Luca S. Kalani Foundation. Jer, what hole are we on?
72.
Oh, 18. Or are you just zigzagging all over the place?
We're actually on nine. You play nine first, and then you start rolling the 18. So we're, you know, kind of like starting on the back.
All right, all right.
Yeah.
How are you holding up?
Well, I mean, it's a long day. It's a lot of walking, a lot of golf, a lot of swing. You know, we had wind. We've had some pretty intense heat. You know, it's pretty warm out today. Got up to 82 last year. We had all that rain, and I think I kind of fell in love with the idea of saying, "Yeah, we got 70 in, and we were totally going to cruise to the finish line." We got rained out, and here I am, about the same way through, and thinking like, "Whew, all right." You know, it's grind it out.
Right. So much for the cruise, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Now you're going to find out if you were right.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, how are you playing?
A little of this, a little of that. I would say, you know, the whole thing in terms of golf. Golf's a very mental game for pace of play, for speed, for, you know, taking your time with shots. And when the whole mission becomes play as fast as you can, kind of. We're not like running up to just shots and hitting.
Right.
Everything about your pace kind of changes, and the mental side of the game, like not standing over putts being nervous about them, but all the things you tell yourself before a swing, before a shot, as you stand up, address the ball. Now you're just, you know, whatever, you hit it. Do the best you can,
right.
Advance the ball, and you lose the finer touches. You lose things along the way as you just start to tire out.
You know,
well, one of the first things I saw this morning when I got up, and I got up early, but not as early as you, because one of the first tweets I saw was earliest birdie of your career. So you started out pretty strong, I assume.
Yeah, I birdied the third hole, and I've since realized that I never knew what my birdie-less streak was before, because you don't remember round to round. But let's see, 72 minus 3. I now have a 69-hole birdie-less streak. So.
Even you have probably topped that. Even you.
Well, it's you get a lot of opportunities out here. The greens are rolling pretty fast. It's the course in great shape. It's I got to be honest. Like, I came out here thinking like, oh, the pins will be in wide open positions. The greens will be slow. The rough will be easy. No, this is like Sunday at Augusta for these guys out here. They wanted it to be tough, and a lot of these guys are very, very good. So for them, you know, it's a lot of fun. For me, you know, I'm out here working.
I would think with this, because your pace is so important, that you might just need a lot of golf balls. Maybe you have that, but apparently, perhaps also, you have a lot of clothes. Are you? Are you loyal to, like, there's some Puma here? Are you loyal to a brand? What is going on? What is going on with all the outfit changes?
Well, I mean, you know, it's a day to let everything out of the closet, if you will. Not loyal to Puma. I mean, right now I'm wearing a lot of Puma. You know, we've got some Travis Matthew, we've got some Nike, some Under Armour. I'm still unsigned. So if anyone is out there, you know, interested, anyone of these major brands, I mean, you know, I could be an ambassador. You know, you put enough stuff out there, who knows? Maybe they call and say,
this guy, that's the guy we want. Like Richard Bland, Joe, when he wore that bird on his hat,
yes,
from his golf club or something in England. He just, you know, I'm available. You see it in tennis. Well, I mean, you look good. It's part of the deal today, apparently, with the changes. Do you have, like, a team out there with you, just sort of every few holes passing you a new outfit? And what, do you go inside? What are the logistics here?
Yeah. I mean, everybody's got caddies to help them carry their bags, so it does make it easy to walk the 30-plus miles. I'm not the only one doing outfit changes. It's actually kind of a tradition. Everybody brings a bunch of stuff because, you know, on a day that's 88 degrees or 82 degrees like today, you might want to change your shirt because you physically want to get out of your shirt. Last year, it's because it rained so hard that you were soaked and you had to change. So, and for some guys, it's about socks and shoes. I change shoes after about 50 holes because you want to feel it on different parts of your feet rather than do it for the whole day. So some's necessity and some is just, you know, for a little bit of flair.
That's right. Nothing wrong with that.
So the fundraising, I know you closed big yesterday. I happened to see as you were sort of like reaching certain thresholds and whatever, and I get the impression that people really came through pretty big for you, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And maybe next year I'll do it a little bit more organized, where the guy Jake, a listener of ours, came out and caddied for me. You know, I said, hey, who wants to throw $100 and caddy 18 holes for me, because Howard couldn't be here today. And I actually had a bunch of responses, and I just picked Jake because he was first in. So maybe next year I'll auction that a bit more, because it's cool to hang out with him. He's going to walk around, you know, talk shop a little bit, and
yep,
get a donation along the way.
yeah, you with a guy like that, like you meet him at our tournament in different places, sometimes you just want to say, like, you know, ask me anything. There's all kinds of stuff we won't say on the air, but here you go. I'm available to you for the next hour and a half or so. What do you want to know? What do you want to know about this place?
I can confirm exactly that. Like, it talks about the Bills that, or Sabres that maybe don't make the air all the time.
Yeah, right, right. And that's always interesting. All right, good. So you can follow Jeremy, as you know, at JeremyWGR, and right near the top of his Twitter feed is a link to the Roswell site where you can read about today's event. Jeremy's one of 16, I believe, golfers making this effort, and you can find your way to the different charities as well through that. Jeremy, good luck. Any questions for us?
Anything happen today? I have not been able to be on Twitter because I'm literally walking and hitting golf balls. Is there anything going on?
A big NFL story broke at about 2:55, and we led with it, which is that starting next year, 2022, NFL teams can wear more than one helmet. Not at a time. Not at a time, but in the course of a season.
Not at the same game, right.
Yeah. So I don't know.
All right. Well, that sounds great.
Does that answer your question? Maybe it does.
Yeah.
I think in a certain way it does answer the question. No, nothing has happened
no.
today, Jeremy.
We got a call from a guy who asked us if it's okay to like OJ. That was kind of cool to talk about for a minute. Yeah, so, and who should we want to have win the Stanley Cup? I think that's kind of tricky.
That's a tough one. I agree with that. That's tough.
All right, back to it. Thanks, Jer.
All right.
Congratulations, too. Thank you. All right, 72 out of 100. Let's see. Carry the one. Hang on a second. I got to go back. He's not done.
No, he's not done. And if he's got 18 holes to go, you know, again, they're not playing. You know, it's not a 3.5 or 4 hour round of 18 holes here. It's much more hurried than that. Otherwise, you'd never get through it. So, but he's looking at. I mean, I saw him tweeting about that birdie. I swear, it was before 6 a.m. So, like, first light, they would have been going, and that's, I think we learned the other day, definitively, around 5:32-ish, somewhere in that range. So he's looking at a solid 12 or 13-hour day out there on the golf course. All the people who are doing this are looking at that, and that is a haul, man.
Oh, yeah. All the numbers, like, in my mind, I'm like, well, that's really good, that's really good. And then he says 30 miles. I'm like, 30 miles? That is where I got a problem. Now I know I'm just not. Right. 30 miles, that's really impressive. Well, congratulations to him and all his partners out there today. We might check in with Jer one more time before we leave. We also have Sal Capaccio coming up in about 20 minutes. Talk some Bills. You can reach us, 803-0550. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
I think Buffalo falls in the category of, like, hey, we do have a top five guy, so we're going to push to get this done. But I think you're going to see more and more teams, you know, like New York, if Daniel Jones doesn't have a good year, like, you know, you can't pay him. Or you just can't do it. So you're going to see more decisions being made like that because that number is getting so high, where I know some NFL owners wanted a separate salary cap during the last CBA negotiation. They wanted it separate. You could have, like, a max player slot, and it never happened, but this is why they wanted that.
Jeremy Fowler on the station earlier this week talking about Josh Allen's future and his contract. Sal Capaccio joins us in about 15 minutes. We'll do some Bills then. A couple of updates. One is that, as you know from listening earlier, if you were, Howard Cosell gets the credit for the proliferation of nachos at every sports arena and stadium. Because one time on Monday Night Football, he had them at a Cowboys game and loved them so much that even repurposed the word to mean, like, good or great. So what a nacho run. I read that story today, and, like, who knew? Howard Cosell had a role in the popularity of nachos. That was new to me.
Definitely new.
Yeah. Also, car wash news. We might even need a sounder for car wash news. The way this
I took the plunge today.
Unlimited?
Yep.
Wow. We're all in.
Oh,
I went in. Yep.
What a coincidence.
Yep.
I was going, I'm mentioning car wash, and you did that. I thought you might have told me already, but no, you saved it.
I was waiting. I was waiting for the right moment, and, well, here it is.
All right. So, how many times today did you go get your truck washed? just once?
I only had the time to do it once. But we'll see what it looks like when the show's over. They're open after the show, so we'll see. Yep.
A listener wrote me yesterday or the day before to say that he has been also an unlimited car wash customer, and his record is 26 times in a month. That's like brushing your teeth.
Yeah, that is bonkers. Wow, I can't. Yeah, I can't fathom that. I mean, I simply just, you know, I mean, you figure it out. I mean, you know, I've been just going, paying the whatever, 20 plus bucks for the one, and then you get the two within however much time there. And I don't know, I almost never use two. So I'm paying basically, you know, the same price for the monthly, or, you know, the unlimited, as I am for like two car washes every other month or every month. And like, what's the point of that? So I did it. I figured it out. It's a good deal.
Everybody say it with me. That's how they get you.
Yeah.
Unlimited car wash. Unlimited car wash. Bulldog is now. Joe, you're next.
No, I'm in.
Oh, you already were unlimited.
Yeah, I was in before you. I've been in like 6 months now, probably.
And how many times do you think you've gone total in 6 months? Under 50?
Yeah.
Imagine 50.
Under 50.
Like, under 50, I think you're getting beat, but maybe that's too high. Imagine going to the car wash 50 times in 6 months.
I think I told you this, that I went last week almost because, not because I thought I needed a car wash, but just, I haven't been there in a while.
Yeah. I've got this. I've bought it.
I've got to show my face. Yeah, I got to make sure this thing still works.
Right. Like, because I think the last 30 days, it might only be once for me. So, like, it's dwindling. It's getting slower for me.
All right. Everybody should
know. I
feel
good about it.
You do.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll stop
on the way home. I'm optimistic that I will, that I will use it enough to justify. I don't. There's no way I'm going to go, you know, more than once a week even. But even if I just go once a week, like, that's, you know, whatever. There's value there. So.
We're all going to see each other in line one of these times at the car wash. You can use any line. I've been reminded, like, you don't have to. There's the unlimited line and then others. But if you're unlimited, you don't have to wait in that line if other lines are open.
I am really, what I'm looking forward to, I won't say the most, because saving the money is the idea. But the way it works, at least at the North Buffalo location of the place that I'm going, is if you go to the pay line, there's two unlimited lanes, and you go to the where you got to pay, which is what I've always done. In any vehicle, it's a really tight turn, hairpin, to get to the line for the person with the hose to start squirting your car. With my truck, it's like really tough. Like, they always have to, they gotta move the hose and like swing way out, because you just cannot cut the corner. So coming from further left, that's gone now. I can just comfortably settle into line. Nobody's got to wait for me to, like, back up and get straight and everything. It's much better this way.
All right. Look at us. I love that this is all in the context of saving money that we're each spending.
Right.
What we're spending on car washes. How about just get a hose? No, I just love this. I love that. I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
I do love. I'm not equipped, really. At my where I live, I don't have a driveway spot. I have washed my cars on the street, and let me tell you, that is challenging.
Okay.
And so it's just really inconvenient. If I had a driveway, I would, because it's the kind of thing I like to do. When I had a motorcycle, I was out in the garage. I probably washed it and polished it as much as I rode it. I like doing that sort of stuff. To things that I value, like my vehicles, but I just don't have a spot to do it where I live. So.
You didn't have a guy for that?
Never had a guy for that. No, don't have a guy.
Like Biff, another Biff reference.
Right.
Biff. In the end, Biff is the guy's out there polishing the truck. Biff, you know I'm going to need that on Saturday or something. And what else? Nothing else. We can wait on the rest of it. Sal's coming up. I saw a cool chart today that, to a point, gives away whether a team is going to run or pass on a particular play. There's a thing that teams do before the snap, and when they do it, more often than not, they are going to throw the ball. What could it be? Talk to Sal about that. The latest with the Bills. another report of the vaccine line with players, the Players Association and the league. And there was a thing, Mike Florio, about how you might not get paid for a game if you test positive, miss the game, all the restrictions already for the non-vaccinated players. And it was likened to a player who suffers an injury doing an activity that isn't allowed in his contract, like the guy who tears an ACL playing basketball in the offseason or something like that. Like, the contract can be voided. And there was no that kind of language, I mean to say, in this next, you know, what, restriction or what have you with the vaccine rules. So doesn't seem like that effort is relenting from the NFL and the players' union, which I'm sure will make some players increasingly frustrated. We'll talk to Sal next. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.